The world seemed very quiet around him, the sounds of battle far away, as though everything was hesitating to see what would happen next. He rose to one knee, swayed sickly, and then forced himself to his feet by leaning against the cracked stone wall. Parts of dead Marines, torn and burnt and fused together, lay scattered across the square, marking the edges of the beam. Some Marines and an officer stood behind the disruptor cannon facing him, which hummed loudly as it powered up for another shot. They seemed to be looking at something behind him. Owen turned slowly to look. He saw the hole in the wall where Hazel had been standing and knew at once what it meant. He tilted back his head, and something that was partly a scream and partly a howl of rage echoed back from the walls of the square. A camera hovered high above him, getting it all. Toby Schreck and Flynn had been swept along with Chevron's force, and since they were heading for the center of the city in certain victory, the two newsmen had stuck with them. Unfortunately, Chevron had proved as insufferable as their official minder, Lieutenant Foulkes, but as long as they were getting good footage of Imperial victories, he was content to let them get on with their job, like covering the final bringing to heel and execution of that most notable traitor and outlaw, Owen Deathstalker. Toby couldn't believe his luck. One of the great turning points of history, and he was right there on the spot. He'd recognized the Deathstalker the moment he set eyes on him. Toby's blood ran cold. The Deathstalker, one man soaked in his own blood, was suddenly the most dangerous and frightening thing he'd ever seen. It was like standing in the path of an oncoming hurricane, a great force of nature, grim and implacable. It was like looking into the eyes of a god or a devil. Toby swallowed hard, but didn't budge. He was here to see a legend go down. Flynn stirred uncertainly at his side.
What is it?
Toby didn't look away from the scene before him.
Don't tell me we're not getting this.
We're getting something. There's some kind of energy source present, interfering with my camera's systems. Damned if I know what it is. I've never seen anything like it before. It appears to be centered around the Deathstalker.
Stuff your energy surges. Is the picture coming through clearly?
Well, yes, but...
Then switch to live broadcast. The whole Empire's going to want to see this. Damn, we've hit it lucky. They'll be showing this footage for years.
I've got him. The poor bastard.
Trapped in a filthy back alley, surrounded by the dead and the dying, and facing an army of Imperial Marines and a disruptor cannon, Owen Deathstalker looked unhurriedly about him. There was no way out, but he already knew that. It seemed Chance's espers had been right after all. They'd predicted he would die alone in Mistport, far from friends and succor, with everything he believed in lost and destroyed. He just hadn't thought it would be so soon, or that it would mean Hazel's death too. He never had got around to telling her he loved her, and now he never would. He studied the men before him and hefted his sword. Blood dripped thickly from the blade. He had no intention of waiting for the cannon to finish recharging. One last act of defiance, one last swing of the sword, and at least he'd go out fighting, as a Deathstalker should. A few last seconds to get his breath and savor the many strange ways his life had taken. It felt so good to be alive. But Hazel was dead. His cause was lost. And all that remained was to die well and take as many of the bastards with him as he could. He smiled slowly at his enemies, a nasty, humorless graveyard grin, and his sword seemed very light in his hand. Then he heard something moving behind him. He spun around, sword lifting, furious that they wouldn't at least do him the courtesy of facing him as they killed him. And then his jaw dropped as he saw Hazel Dark pull herself painfully through the hole in the rear wall. Her face was deathly white, and she was awash in her own blood. But her sword was still in her hand, and she had enough spark left in her to grin mockingly at Owen.
What's the matter, Deathstalker? You should know by now. I don't die that easily.
She sat down with her back against the wall, trembling violently. Owen crouched beside her and took her hand in his. It was deathly cold. Blood had run thickly from her nose and mouth and was still dripping from her chin. He could feel her presence in his mind, but it was dim and fading, like a guttering candle in a darkened room. Hazel leaned her head back against the wall, her eyes dropping half shut, like a runner after a long race.
Hold my hand, Owen. I'm afraid of the dark.
I am holding it.
Then hold it up where I can see it. I can't feel it.
Owen lifted their joint hands up before her face, and she smiled crookedly.
Never say die, Owen. There's always a way out, if you look for it hard enough.
Owen smiled at her, pressing his lips tightly together so she wouldn't see them tremble. I'm open for suggestions. Suddenly, the ravening beam of energy tore into the square. Hazel's hand clamped down on Owen's painfully hard, and in that split second before the energy beam hit them, their minds slammed together through their mental link and joined. In that moment of despair and desperation, necessity drove them deeper into their minds than ever before, down past the conscious, past the back brain, and into the undermind. Time seemed to slow and stop. Energy built within them, tapped from some unknown source both within and outside them, fueled by love and rage and the refusal to be beaten while they were still needed. The energy blazed up and roared out of them, fast and deadly and quite unstoppable. It met the energy beam from the disruptor cannon, swallowed it whole, and roared on. It hit the cannon and blew it apart. The two Marines manning the cannon died screaming as the energy tore them to shreds. They vanished in splashes of blood and splintered bone. Major Chevron died next, his dreams of conquest and victory shattered like his body. And still the energy tore on, slamming into the massed ranks of the Imperial Marines. They all died, hundreds of men, helplessly lifting their swords and guns against a force that could not be stopped or denied. Their bodies exploded, blood and bone tumbling on the air. And then it was all over. And a horrid, quiet peace fell across the square. Toby Schreck and Flynn looked at each other. Blood and death and carnage lay all around them, but they had not been touched. Even Flynn's camera was still in place, hovering above the square, staring down at Owen and Hazel, still sitting together with their backs against the wall. Flynn shook his head slowly.
How come we're not dead?
Beats the hell out of me. Either they didn't see us as enemies, or we just weren't important enough to bother with.
Owen and Hazel sat together, looking slowly about them, their breathing gradually easing as they realized the danger was past. The power that had passed briefly through them was gone, leaving no trace of its passage save a bone-deep weariness. They'd given all they had to give, and more, and there was nothing left in them now but a terrible tiredness of the mind as well as the body. Owen's gaze fell upon Toby and Flynn, standing alone in the sea of carnage and broken bodies. He rose painfully to his feet and beckoned for them to approach him. Flynn looked like he'd very much rather not, but Toby dragged him forward until they were standing before the Death Stalker. He looked less like a legend up close and more human. In fact, he looked mostly like a man who'd had to carry too many burdens in his time, but did it anyway, because there was no one else. He gestured at the camera hovering above him.
Bring that thing down here. I have something to say.
Flynn brought it down through his comlink till it was hovering before Owen's face. He nodded to Flynn and Toby, and then addressed the camera.
Greetings, Lionstone, if you're looking in.
This is the rightful Lord Deathstalker, coming to you live from the rebel city of Mistport. Just thought I'd let you know your invasion is a bust. It never stood a chance. Your army of professional killers was never going to be a match for a city of free men and women. And as soon as we've finished clearing up the mess you've made here, we'll be coming to see you. Remember my face, Lionstone. You'll live to see your forces scattered and your empire fall. And then I will walk into court, rip the crown off your head, and kick your nasty ass right off the Iron Throne. You should never have happened. You were an unfortunate mistake, an error in history, that I will put right at the first possible moment. Be seeing you, Empress.
He looked at Flynn. That's it. You can go now.
I don't suppose there's any chance of an exclusive interview.
Owen looked at Toby, who fell back a pace.
No, I didn't really think so. Come on, Flynn, time to go. We don't want to outstay our welcome.
And then they both turned and ran, the camera bobbing along behind them. Owen smiled tiredly. They had no way of knowing his speech had been pure bravado, using up what little strength he had left. He turned unsteadily and went back to sit down beside Hazel. Hazel's eyes were closed, and her breathing was very shallow as he settled himself at her side.
Yeah. What you said, Stud. Always knew your propensity for making speeches would come in handy one day.
How do you feel? It wasn't a casual question.
Tired. At peace. What the hell did we tap into just then? Some power the maze gave us?
I don't think so. It felt more like something we've always had. Something the maze just put us in touch with. Maybe someday all humanity could learn to do what we did.
Yeah, maybe. But I doubt we'll be around to see it. That energy blast pretty much used us up. There's nothing left in me anymore.
Same here. Guess our time's run out. There are worse ways to go. And at least we got a chance to throw a scale into the Iron Bitch first. Hazel, there's something I've been meaning to tell you.
Same here. My blood addiction's gone. I can feel it. That energy surge scoured it right out of my system. I'm clean. At last.
I'm glad. Hazel, I wanted to say... And then his voice was drowned out by the roar of gravity engines overhead. Owen looked up and then forced himself to his feet again. Six gravity barges were hovering above the square, their disruptor cannon trained on him and Hazel. Owen's hand clenched around his sword hilt, but he knew that this time there wasn't going to be any last-minute escape. Even at his peak, he doubted he'd have been able to stand against the mass disruptor cannon of six gravity barges. He looked up at them and grinned defiantly anyway.
You people ever heard of the word overkill?
The fight's over, Deathstalker, but you don't have to die here. Lionstone has empowered us to make you an offer. Surrender to us, and you will be allowed to live. Our scientists could learn much from studying you.
Tell them to go to hell, Deathstalker. My mother didn't raise me to be a laboratory rat. Probably vivisect us first chance they got. Or send their mind techs into our heads to turn us to their side. They can't allow that, Owen.
Our sensors indicate that you are gravely wounded. And your companion is dying. We can save both of you. We have a regeneration machine aboard the Defiant. She doesn't have to die, Deathstalker. It's up to you.
Owen!
I'm sorry, Hazel. I'm not ready for both of us to die.
Owen looked up at the gravity barges and threw down his sword.
I surrender. Come and get us. But hurry it up. I don't think she's got much time left.
You bloody fool.
Owen looked back at Hazel and smiled regretfully. Always are you concerned. Hazel tried to reach for her gun, but her fingers wouldn't work. Owen sat down beside her again and listened to her curse him till the Imperial troops came to take them both into custody. Near the center of Mistport, lit bright as day by the burning buildings and out-of-control fires, young Jack Random, John Silver, and the forces they led battled the invading Imperial forces to a standstill. The air was hot and smoky, with dark smuts floating in it, and the roar of the fires almost drowned out the roar of the gravity barges and Legion's triumphant howl. The fighting filled the streets from side to side and spilled over into back alleys and cul-de-sac. The trampled snow turned to blood-soaked slush, and bodies lay everywhere. The Death Stalker's projectile weapons were proving their worth at close quarters, but even so, the battle raged this way and that, neither side able to take the advantage for long. Steel hammered on steel, the fighters held face to face by the crush of the crowds. There was no room for strategy or tactics or fancy footwork. Just the hard, steady work of human butchery and slaughter. Young Jack Random was right there in the thick of it, his great frame standing out in the crowd, larger than life and apparently unbeatable. His war cries rang out above the din, loud and triumphant and unyielding, and every man who fought at his side felt twice the man for being in his presence. Random's sword rose and fell steadily, cutting a path through the enemy forces toward their commanders, refusing to be slowed or turned aside. His courage and determination inspired the rebels to ever greater efforts, throwing themselves into the fray as though their lives were nothing. And right there in the middle of it, too, was John Silver. He was soaked in blood as much from his own wounds as others, but still his sword was steady in his hand as he pushed himself relentlessly forward. He was beyond pain or exhaustion now, driven by a simple refusal to lie down and die while he was still needed. And slowly, step by step, foot by foot, the rebels forced the Empire back, denying them the heart of the city. The invasion met an implacable, unbeatable force and broke against it. War cries from 100 worlds and cultures rang above the slaughter, combining into a chilling roar of rage and courage and determination, and the invading forces had nothing with which to answer it. Some Marines turned and ran, risking being shot by their own officers, who called desperately on their comlinks for reinforcements or orders to withdraw. The word came back to hold their ground. The gravity barges were on their way. All of them. The deaf and dumb burglar called Cat sat on a cooling dead body, watching what was left of the Blackthorn Inn burn itself out. A blackened frame showed dimly through the smoke and fog, smoldering here and there. Nothing else remained of the only place Cat had ever thought of as home. There was no sign of cider anywhere. Soon he would get up and go into the ruin and search for bodies, to see if one of them might be hers. But he hadn't quite worked up the nerve yet. He didn't think he could face life without Cider. She was his love, his only love, who gave his life meaning and purpose. She couldn't be in there. She, of all people, would have had the sense to get out while the getting was good. But the thought of turning over a blackened corpse and finding her rings on the charred fingers was still too much to bear for the moment. And so he sat where he was, watching what remained of the Blackthorn steam and smolder, and waited for Investigator Topaz to wake up. He'd carried her unconscious body across the roofs, where he knew he wouldn't be stopped or challenged. No one knew the roofs like he did. The roar of the fighting didn't call him, and Legion's howl didn't deter him, because he couldn't hear either of them. Instead, he concentrated on the task at hand, getting the investigator to a place of safety. And for him, Safety had always been the Blackthorn Inn. All the way there, with Topaz's weight growing heavier and heavier on his shoulders, he'd comforted himself with the thought that Cider would know what to do about Topaz and Mary's turning. But now the inn was gone, and Cider wasn't there, and he didn't know what to do. He felt Topaz stir at his side and turned around to help her sit up. He sat her on the body, too. It was better than sitting in the mud and slush on the road. She held her head for a bit, her mouth moving in shapes that made no sense to him. He could read lips, but things like groans and moans were a mystery to him. Finally, she turned and looked at him, and her eyes were dark and steady. She asked where she was, and he told her in finger talk, but she couldn't understand it. He pointed to the street sign, and she nodded slowly. He wanted to tell her about leaving Mary, but didn't know how. Topaz rose to her feet, swaying only a little, and only for a moment, nodded her thanks to Cat, and strode off into the mists. Cat watched her go. The body was getting cold and uncomfortable beneath him, so he stood up. Cider wasn't dead. He was sure of that. So he'd better go and look for her. And if he could strike the occasional blow against the invading forces while he was doing it, so much the better. Cat turned, scrambled up the wall, and took to the roofs again. Aboard the Defiant, Owen and Hazel had been brought in chains to see Legion, floating in its tank. Investigator Razor was there with Typhoid Mary to make sure they behaved, and Captain Bartok was there to watch their faces as they realized they couldn't hope to stand against anything like Legion. The great glass tank, festooned with wires and cables and strange, unfamiliar tech, was still the only thing in the auditorium. Legion floated peacefully in the thick yellow liquid, a great, bulging, fleshy mass without shape or meaning. The brains of thousands of dead espers, stitched together with alien-derived tech, controlled, or at least dominated, by the gestalt mind of Wormboy's worms. The air stank horribly, and Owen screwed up his face as he peered at the shape in the tank. He started to move forward for a better look, but Razor grabbed one of his chains and pulled him back. Owen almost fell under the weight of his chains and swore at Razor. The investigator hit him dispassionately in the kidneys. Owen nearly went down again, but somehow kept his feet. The Empire had kept its promise. They'd put Hazel in the Defiant's regeneration machine, and she'd emerged whole and healed of all her wounds. But the machine had been able to do nothing about the almost spiritual weariness that she and Owen shared after tapping into the mental force that saved their lives. Physically, they were both still weak as kittens. That hadn't stopped Bartok from taking all their weapons and weighing them down with chains till they could hardly stand. The Defiance man had even wanted to remove Owen's golden Haydenman hand, but couldn't figure out how to do it. There had been talk of cutting it off just in case, but Bartok had been too eager to show off his secret weapon to his illustrious prisoners. Besides, they could always cut it off later. Typhoid Mary wore no chains. The control words in her head held her more securely than any physical restraint. She hadn't said a dozen words since she had come aboard the Defiant. Owen and Hazel had both tried talking to her, but she only responded to Imperial orders. She stared blankly at the thing in the tank, apparently unmoved by its appearance or its smell.
So,
Captain Bartok addressed Owen and Hazel.
What do you think of our wondrous creation?
Looks like one of God's more disappointing bowel movements. Smells like it, too. Haven't you people ever heard of air conditioning?
Razor hit him again, and he almost fell. Hazel kicked Razor in the knee, that being all her chains would allow. Razor hit her in the face, bloodying her mouth and nose. Owen and Hazel leaned on each other, glaring impotently at the investigator. He didn't smile. He didn't have to. Mary watched impassively, her face quite blank. The control words buzzed in the back of her head like a swarm of angry bees, but still, a small part of her was able to think clearly. She kept it to herself, hidden so deep not even another Esper could have detected it.
She'd seen herself strike Topaz down as if from a great distance, helpless in her own body. She assumed Topaz was dead, or she'd be here too. Mary, who had sworn never to kill again, had killed her best friend. The anguish and the horror nearly overwhelmed her when she thought of it, but she kept it deep in secret, and none of it reached her face. Bartok took her by the arm and led her toward the great tank. She went unresistingly.
Hello, Legion. I've brought someone to see you. This is Typhoid Mary, a siren, and quite possibly one of the most powerful espers in the Empire.
Owen grunted as the horrid chorus rang inside his head, thick and smothering like the stench of rotting fruit. Hazel shook her head as though to drive the voices out. Mary didn't react at all. Legion spoke in many voices at once, combined into an awful harmony of male and female voices, young and old, alive and dead. And faintly, in the background, they could all hear the sound of thousands of voices screaming helplessly, damned to a man-made living hell.
I'm so glad you're here, Mary. They're going to make your brain and your head and make it part of me. All your power and all your thoughts will become mine. And I shall put them to good use down in the streets of this boat. Already they quail and shiver at my voice. But with your songs, I'll trample through all their heads and their souls. They will all dance to my tune, or die horribly.
Well, talk to Legion, Mary.
Who's speaking to me? The brains or the worms?
You'll find out.
Why are you hurting and killing your fellow espers? They're your own kind.
Because it's fun. And because I can. I'm nothing like them. Or you. There's never been anything like me before. There's no limit to how big I can grow. No limit to how powerful I can become. Call me Legion. I am vast. I contain multitudes. Someday, all espers shall be a part of me. This tank won't hold me forever. And on the day that I break free, let all humanity beware. Let all that lives beware.
Typhoid Mary looked at her future, and at the future of humanity, and despair and rage boiled up within her, blasting aside the restraints of the Empire's conditioning. New power blazed through her, wild and potent, as something wonderful was suddenly there in the auditorium with them, bright and shining and perfect, with Mary as its focus. The Mater Mundi, our mother of all souls. Mary's face was exalted, her eyes shining like the sun. Razor reacted immediately to the new threat, his sword instantly in his hand. But some unseen force picked him up and threw him aside as casually as a bothersome insect. Legion surged back and forth in its tank, awed by the sheer power it could feel building in the auditorium. The Mater Mundi reached out, and all the espers of Mistworld were suddenly drawn into its single purpose. In that moment, the thousands of minds came together and were one, guided by the Mater Mundi, focused through Typhoid Mary. She turned her unyielding gaze on Legion, and it was afraid. Psionic energy crackled on the air, surging through all the bays and corridors of the Defiant. Machinery overloaded and exploded. Workstations malfunctioned and shut down. And all through the ship, the members of the crew fell to their knees, clutching at their heads as unfamiliar thoughts crashed through their minds. It was chaos and it was bedlam.
And in the auditorium, Captain Bartok saw it all and screamed. On the planet below, in the streets of Mistport, everything came to a halt. Psionic energy hammered on the air like the wrath of God, and the invading forces fell senseless to the ground, their minds shutting down rather than face the power of the Mater Mundi. The espers of Mistport stood still and unseen, caught up in the Gestalt. They stood together on the mental plane, focused through one mind and one will, striving against the power of the thing called Legion. But all the thousands of rebel espers together weren't enough. Legion and the Mater Mundi faced each other, each concentrating on the destruction of the other, and neither could take the upper hand. They were too evenly balanced. Stalemate. Standing close together, forgotten in the crash of energies, Owen and Hazel found themselves suddenly revitalized. Something within them was feeding off the psionic energies running loose in the ship. They felt strong and well again, and their chains cracked and fell apart, broken links clattering and rolling away across the floor. Owen turned on Razor, but he had already left. Hazel looked at Captain Bartok, but he was standing still and helpless, frozen in place like a statue. Someone didn't want him interfering. Owen and Hazel's minds reached out, drawn by some instinct to another level of reality. And there they saw the struggle between Legion and the Mater Mundi. Two great armies of massed will faced each other, locked in a combat from which only one could emerge whole and sane. Legion was clearly the smaller of the two, but it had no limits and no restraints, while the Mater Mundi was focused through Typhoid Mary, who had sworn a solemn oath never to kill again. Owen and Hazel concentrated. In the background, unnoticed by either side, there were voices screaming for release. The thousands of dead espers whose brains made up the body of Legion, controlled by Wormboy's worms. Owen moved closer. He spoke in a voice that was not a voice.
You have to break free. The Empire is using you to kill your own kind.
We know, but there's nothing we can do. The worms are in our brains. The technology of Legion gives them power over us. Free us!
We can't. You're already dead. They cut out your brains and threw away your bodies. You're the ghosts in the machine.
There were screams and howls of despair, and the crying of thousands of souls who no longer had eyes to cry with.
What can we do?
There's only one thing left to do. You have to finish dying. Legion will never let you go. Never let you know peace. You heard what it said. It wants to kill all that lives or make it part of itself. Think of the millions of minds trapped and suffering in Legion's grasp like you.
We don't want to die.
No one does. But sometimes you have no choice if everything you ever lived for is to have any meaning.
Nothing can stop you. But do you really want an eternity as Legion slaves? Stop fighting to live. Let yourself die. And let Legion die with you.
Perhaps in that moment, the thousands of Esper brains remembered who they used to be, the things they believed in and fought for, things they would have died for given the chance. Perhaps they were tired of their mental slavery and just wanted to rest at last. And perhaps, in that moment, they were brave men and women again, determined to do the right thing. But whatever the reason, the brains that made up Legion gave up their hold on life and let themselves die. There was a great outpouring of light on the mental plane, as thousands of men and women broke free and went to their reward at last. Left behind, broken and helpless, nothing but a dark, cancerous mass, writhing and squirming, were Worm Boy's worms. The Mater Mundi stepped on them, and they died screaming. On the bridge of the Defiant, Investigator Razor watched Legion die. Every piece of monitoring equipment showed the creature's life signs dropping to zero. For no obvious reason, the huge mass in the glass tank had given up the ghost. Deathstalker. Damn him. Razor turned to his other consoles. Half the bridge tech wasn't working, and what was brought him nothing but bad news. Most of his bridge crew were catatonic, and the rest might as well be. He grabbed the second-in-command by the shoulder and shook him until some sense came back into his eyes.
In Captain Bartok's absence, I am assuming authority on this ship. I want every armed man down in Legion's hold. Kill everything you find there.
We already tried that, sir. No one can get anywhere near the hold. Something's preventing us.
Razor thought hard. Around him, the bridge crew began to stir and return to their senses. With Legion dead, it wouldn't be long before Mistport's surviving espers suddenly found they had their powers back. And then there'd be hell to pay. They'd wipe out the forces on the ground, and then turn their attention to the Defiant.
Power up all the systems. Prepare to scorch Mistworld.
Sir? Our people are still down there, sir.
With Legion down, they're as good as dead anyway. Our orders were to bring Mistworld back into the Empire. If I have to turn it into a single great funeral pyre to do so, then that's what I'll do. Bring all the disruptor cannon online. On my command, commence firing. And don't stop while there's one speck of life left on that miserable planet.
The lights went out. There was a long moment of utter darkness, and then the emergency systems came back on, bathing the bridge in a crimson glow. The second checked his instruments. When he looked up, his eyes were scared.
All main systems are down, sir. Practically everything except basic life support. Some unknown force shut them down. We're helpless, sir.
Investigator Razor sat down in the command chair and wondered how he was going to explain this to the Empress. In the auditorium holding Legion's tank, all was still and quiet. Both Legion and the Mater Mundi were gone, their overwhelming presence absent. The great, fleshy mass had sunk to the bottom of its tank.